my crew, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
What? That's deer poop? Did you get it?
Hardworking men and women who earn an honest living.
There you go.
Okay.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
The underwater lawnmower. First time I've had the pleasure.
Now, get ready. To get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs.
Obviously, these seagulls, this is a mortal enemy.
Absolutely.
At the San Francisco dump, bird abatement specialists use Dave the Hawk.
So word's obviously gone out.
They're a little bit nervous.
To show seagulls who's boss. And later.
All right, then. Step one.
A mobile butcher's day starts off with a bang.
22 Magnum.
Then they play a great little game called, what's that organ?
Push your arm in there, see what it looks like.
Oh! It really feels as though there could be an explosion. Oh, God. I was thinking about it on the drive over. I've probably been to the San Francisco dump 25, maybe 30 times over the last 6 years. And every time I come here, seagulls crap on my head. Now, to be fair, over the last couple of years, fewer seagulls have been crapping on my head. And for that, I can thank Steve and Michelle. Nice to see you.
Good to meet you.
Michelle, pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
These guys are, what are you, falconers?
We're falconers, bird abatement specialists, and all around good people.
Well, I can confirm the first two for certain. We'll see about the good people thing by the end of the show. But right now, from the squawking in the back of this truck, it does seem that there are birds in the picture.
There sure are.
These are all falcons?
No, I have a good group of falcons and hawks. This is Dave. He's a Harris hawk, male Harris hawk, about 4 years old.
Why are you calling Dave?
Because that's his name. He reminds me of my brother.
No. You mean his name was Dave when you got him, or you named him Dave?
Oh, I named him Dave 2 years ago.
Because he kind of reminds me of our Dave a little bit.
That does, doesn't it?
Barsky's actually got a hood like that he'll wear from time to time.
Okay.
I would be remiss if I didn't point out that that's the weirdest looking falcon I've ever seen.
This is Trebon.
Trebon, that's French.
That's French for good.
Very good. Trebon, baby. Hi. What is his role?
His role is to help chase staging seagulls wherever they're standing around.
Uh-huh.
And keep them moving. And he's very good at it.
Hi, Trebon. Very good. All right, so the whole problem in context for me. I mean, I wasn't kidding. I've been crapped on a lot out here by the birds. Obviously, seagulls come in from the water. They're attracted to all the food.
It's really not natural for them to come to San Francisco at the transfer station and eat all the
baby diapers. Fine.
Oh, sure.
Think about it. Think about what they eat.
Yeah. Birds will eat anything. Yeah, the idea of a bird cleaning out a baby's diaper and then just flying around spreading all that contagion.
That can happen. I've seen it. This is called a falconer's bag.
Uh-huh.
And it goes over your shoulder.
And either shoulder?
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right.
Good.
So like this?
No, yes. Well, it'll come back over this way.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
That's okay? All right.
This is your gauntlet.
Yeah.
Goes on your left hand.
Man, that's fancy.
Yeah, it is fancy.
A lot of guys, I wasn't expecting fringe on the gauntlet. All right, now, all this noise around us, the beeping and the trucks, I mean, does it bother them at all, or are they so used to it?
They get so used to it, you have to train them for that. It's just part of the distraction that you have to overcome in order to use hawks and falcons at a transfer station or a landfill or any other type of high industry area.
I had to do the same thing with my crew. Immerse them. 3 years ago, these guys would be weeping and complaining about the noise. Now they don't even
now
hear.
Now they follow you anywhere.
There's still an issue with that guy over there, Jones. He's ready to blow his brains out, but you really can't blame him. Okay, so you asked me to pick him up, and I must confess that I'm not sure how to do it, but he does have huge talons.
And he should step back.
Step back, Dave.
Lift your hand.
Go ahead, lift up.
Good man.
Okay, excellent. Now, I know it's nervous because he's moving.
Sure, he's moving.
He's moving. But then you bring it around to the front.
All
and
right.
Now you're holding a hawk or a falcon like a veteran.
You mean a fellow back from the war or a guy who's been doing this for a while?
Back from the hockey wars.
I don't know if it was the bird of prey, my winning smile, or the fact that I was wearing a purse. But for some reason, Michelle decided to get all paparazzi on me.
Hey, Michelle.
I went over
there. Michelle, really?
What?
Today? You're in the show. You're in the... That's a fact. That's a dirty John shirt.
Okay,
that's the first
back
time ever.
Cut.
No. That. I'm flattered, really.
Well, Steve, you got the bird.
You know, people will come by and take pictures, but I've never had somebody in the show take a picture while we were doing it. You know what, Dave? I find it charming. I think we should let her do it. Go ahead, get a picture.
Okay, now, come on.
Now, go ahead.
I got it.
No. Did you?
I got it already.
Yeah, get it out of your system now.
I got it.
All right. That's awesome.
Well, that's good. You got my good side. Dave doesn't look too bad either.
We're going to go over here to the clean-out station.
Okay. Obviously, these seagulls, this is a mortal enemy.
Absolutely.
And as soon as they see him?
They'll be intimidated.
And is he interested in just making them go away, or would he like to eat them?
He's going
to
be more interested in coming back to you. Just coming back to your fist for some food. I have some quail prepared for you. There we go.
No, I didn't really tell him to do that. That's all right.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
All right. Man, he looks like he means business.
The objective is to scare, not attack, these seagulls. So Steve makes sure his birds are well fed before they get to work.
Okay.
So word's obviously gone out.
Well, they're a little bit nervous. And now you can call Dave back if you put this in your glove right here.
Dave, I have some quail for you. Dave, check it out, food. Dave. Dave. Oh, Dave. How's his hearing? Oh, that's even better. Oh, yeah.
Very good. Ring me down. Very good.
So what he's eating is a piece of quail?
He's a quail wing.
So these
and you notice the seagulls are pretty nervous about that. They're watching a predator eat, and so I've triggered a predator-prey response. And there they go.
Yep. Look at that. All he has to do, Dave has such mojo that all he has to do is eat a little bit of quail on my fist, and he's got 1,000 seagulls up there in a panic. Actually, I said 1,000 just because it's a number I know. How many are there?
You know what? Count them.
One, two. Yep, yeah, no, there's 1,000. Right, I nailed it.
Man.
It's exactly 1,000. What were the odds of that?
And a few pigeons, too.
So what's happening within the flock of seagulls?
Right now, they're communicating with each other and saying it's not that dangerous because they're already starting to land again on the different buildings. As long as there's food here, which there is, the seagulls will come and try to exploit the easy food.
But what you're saying over time, I mean, a couple years ago, you had 3,000 seagulls
more,
here regularly.
More.
4,000.
Yeah.
Million.
See, they bring their babies in to feed, and then their babies learn that this is free food. So if we keep them out long enough, the babies will actually eat someplace else instead of thinking this is food. So when they raise babies, this is not an option any longer. So it's many generations that you have to go through before it actually takes effect for any one particular site.
So the real purpose of the bird abatement plan, you can't get rid of the birds. You just move them to some other food source, really.
A natural food source by the ocean. They eat what they naturally eat.
Not the baby diaper.
Yeah, not the baby diaper. And other things that we could mention, but we won't.
Go ahead, mention them. I'm curious to see what you're going to say next. It could be anything. All right, what do we do now?
Well, I think we should go back and maybe move over to the top of the building over there.
Up there?
And go ahead and push all those gulls that are resting up on top.
Coming up.
Maybe it's time to start shooting some pyrotechnics.
You've got explosive. Let's break them out.
When everything else fails, bring out the persuader.
You like this too much.
Oh, I'm a child.
Ooh, jeez. And later.
The heck is this? Spleen?
Mobile butchery is kind of like medical school.
Pancreas. It's a big heart.
With power tools.
All right, so we're going to go up to a roof and put the fear of God and some more seagulls.
Unfortunately, Dave the bird would not be joining us on the roof.
After you.
Because in their arsenal of weapons, Steve and Michelle not only have birds of prey, they have kites.
This would be the kite?
Yeah, you heard right. Kite, as in go fly up.
All right. Just stay real close to these pipes.
That's as close as I can get to them.
Stay right down the middle here.
This whole roof is basically held together with bird crap.
They use this as a staging spot down the middle here.
Now, Doug, it'd be really wise. So, no, you're Troy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
See these? I don't even know that they'd support your 80 pounds.
This is a dirty and dangerous job.
Now, my admiration for Steve was growing for many reasons. First of all, he was doing his darndest to convince me this was a tough job.
Now, fly your kite, bye.
Secondly, anybody who gets paid for flying kites every day is my new best friend.
We'll see if we can pull any birds off that roof.
Jeez! Impaled by my own kite.
Can't tell which way the wind's going here.
It's going every way. Right now, it's going that way.
Okay, let her go. Let her go. There you go, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
There we go, and there go the birds. Keep letting it out. There we go.
Now, these birds are horrified of kites. That's official.
That's it.
Seagulls take kites.
Seagulls don't like to see anything above them.
Are you up here every day? Or most
every day. 5 days a week, 5:30 in the morning till the afternoon.
Great day for scaring birds.
That's it. Great day on the bay, too.
Now, why are we out there?
Because we're working.
I don't know, man. This is a job. This falls under the job category.
It is.
A job in quotes. I like it, Phil.
We could go ahead and reel that kite in, and they will come and stage again.
It's a never-ending job. You just keep them on the run or on the wing.
On the wing. But what I have to do is during the day, I have to continuously rotate and move them.
Good.
Right.
Maybe we should send another message.
Maybe it's time to start shooting some pyrotechnics here and there.
If you've got explosives, let's break them out. We need a three-pronged attack. Kites, birds of prey, and dynamite.
Dynamite.
Send those birds a message.
The pyrotechnics that Steve uses are basically little bottle rockets placed in the small plastic gun that ignites them.
Straight into the wind? Is that like so?
That's it. There goes a few.
Well, sure. That's annoying.
That's annoying.
That'd drive me crazy if I was a bird.
And once again, talk about career development. Birds of prey, kites, and now bottle rockets. It's every little boy's dream job.
Right into it.
Let's see if I can actually hit one.
There's one right there.
Ooh, jeez. that got his attention.
It's already cocked.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
Oh, that was straight up.
You like this too much.
I'm a child.
Okay. Well, the object is just to keep them stirred up.
They're stirred up.
I think we did that.
You ever hit one by accident?
I have, and usually it just bounces off and it doesn't bother them. These aren't lethal.
1 minute you're feasting out on a nice baby diaper. Next minute, giant Roman candle flying up in booty.
That's it.
I'm gonna keep the gun with me if that's all right.
That's fine.
All right. How's it going, Michelle? Can we get a quick picture? It's been a while.
1, 2, 3.
Once again, reconvening at headquarters. Now with a new player. Who's this?
This is Annie O. She's a 9-week-old pup, and she'll be working with Trey Bone.
They've met before?
Oh, yeah, they've
met.
They're pals? They're
pals. Annie O, as in Oakley?
Annie Oakley. One of my heroines.
You're training her to do whatever it is we're about to see Trey Bond do.
That's it.
And around the corner, we have located a flock.
A mob of seagulls that are busily feeding, and we're going to disperse them from the area.
I mean, it shouldn't take long, right?
Shouldn't
They're
take
gonna
long.
They're going to bark, bark, run, run. Bird's going to fly away?
Boom, boom.
All right.
All right.
What do you say, Trey?
What do you say, Trey?
All right, Annie. Don't run off.
Remember when Steve said he'd identified a mob of birds? Don't blink. You'll miss the big chase.
All right, well, I think what we've just seen is a classic demonstration of dog running and bird flying away. Michelle, does it get more complicated than that?
Get the bird straight.
I mean, look, Annie O's so excited, she just peed. So that was not what you call the, holy crap, honey, get in here, look at this, you're not going to believe it.
That's right.
The dog walked straight toward the birds and they flew off. But... But this is exciting.
Yeah.
Annie O apparently will eat anything.
She will take food straight from the seagulls.
That's not food. The point being, of course, throughout the course of your day, pyrotechnics, dogs, and various
falcons, various types kites, of dogs
and kites,
and continuous, determined movement of the birds helps disperse the whole group.
Can we get a picture?
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't much of a dirty job, but at least we'll have a keepsake photo to remember it by. Right, Michelle? Yeah, Michelle, don't quit your day job. Coming up.
That's going to go on there now.
This whole cow's coming up in the air.
You know it.
When I've heard the phrase raising cattle, I usually had something else in mind.
This is not Earl's Meats. This is Earl's truck. Earl's meat is in the back. And technically, it's not even Earl's. You see, Earl is a mobile butcher. It means he drives all over Holland, Michigan, looking for meat. Yeah, that's Holland, Michigan. We were going to go to the Netherlands, but there were some cuts in the budget.
Holland, Michigan is populated by many self-reliant farmers who raise crops and animals for the purpose of feeding their own families. Today, one of those farmers has hired Earl's Meats to butcher the steer they've raised for food. If you really want to understand where your food comes from, there's no better way than to raise it yourself.
Well, here we are. This is Earl and Jeff Bush. And you guys have an operation called Earl's Meats, and you're a mobile butcher.
Right.
How long have you been doing this?
About 6 years.
Yeah?
Cutting meat all my life.
Is that right?
And taught my kids how to do it, and Jeff does all my butchering for me now.
What kind of teacher was the old man?
I get along with him all right.
Well, it's obviously important work, but I have to say that I wasn't really familiar with the idea of being mobile, but I would think mobile butchery, if that's a word, is probably the first kind of butchery, isn't it?
Yep. Slaughterhouses are a little few and far between, so we do a service to them by coming out and doing it all right on the farm for them.
All right, then. Step one.
Okay, here's the tough part. You can't butcher an animal until you slaughter it. Sorry, folks, that's the way the world works. No matter who you are, if you want steak or hamburger on your plate, a cow will need to be slaughtered. It's not fun to do. It's not fun to watch. But it's why we're here, and it's a critical part of the job.
22 Magnum.
Don't worry, I'm not going to show it to you. But I am going to do it. So, if you don't want to hear it, cover your ears right now.
You got him.
Perfect.
The cow goes down immediately. It's a very quick death. There's no pain. The next part, though, is a lot harder than pulling a trigger.
Slit his throat.
Yep.
The cow needs to be bled.
Which knife?
That involves a knife. Several knives, actually, which is why I've been given three.
Right through the jugular. You better keep running going until you get blood.
The blood of the steer has to be drained right away because if it's left in the steer, the bacteria in the blood will turn the meat rancid.
That'd be the jugular.
You know it.
On to step two. There are a lot of things to do when dressing a cow, so to speak, and a lot of discoveries.
Never think of a tongue bone.
The white bucket.
Just know that to prepare a cow for butchering involves very sharp objects.
See what this guy's still attached?
Yeah, just go right through the middle there.
Ah, well, there you go.
And a lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
Like, if you were really in a hurry, how fast could you get this done by yourself?
About an hour. From the time I pull in the driveway till the time I leave.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half a cow by the time he moves, gets set up, gets going.
That's us cleaning the cow.
Just get the loose stuff off.
You're basically just washing the area where the knife is going to go.
Right, you bet.
That's us skinning the cow.
Just like you've done it before.
Well, I haven't.
That's us cleaning the cow again.
What do you think, boss?
Good. You bet.
That's going to go on there now.
This whole cow's coming up in the air.
You know it.
Once we had the outside clean, it was time for, yeah, the inside.
What the heck was that?
You got to get that out of there.
Try it. Feel.
Yeah, push your arm in there. See what it looks like.
I can see what it looks like without putting my arm in it. Oh, yeah, no, I've had my arm.
Yeah, push all that extra stuff down in there.
Oh!
So that when you get... so that when you get ready to take it out, you're good.
That feels like a overinflated balloon.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, it really feels as though there could be an explosion.
Coming up.
Happy Acres. That's nice.
If you're looking for happiness, you might want to skip Happy Acres.
Tell me about the barrels.
Put all the intestines and everything that scrap will go in one.
So it says inedible?
Yeah, inedible.
They'll lift her right up in the air. That'll work. Take the intestines out of them here.
Right.
That's your job.
Of course. Which of my many knives would you recommend using for the intestines?
Skinning knife for first.
Skinning? It's my skinning knife. We constantly sharpen knives here. Use it, sharpen it. Use it, sharpen it. Over and over and over.
Stick your knife in here backwards.
Backwards? Why would you do that?
So you don't cut into the stomach. Anything in there you do not want on the meat. Stick your hand right in there. And there's going to get pressure on there, and it's going to want to come out.
But when do I come out?
Very good. Just like that. Give me the knife. Now, the big stomach, you got to get that in the barrel.
Thanks, damn Shazam.
There's nothing to it. Keep running, pushing. There you go.
Uh-huh.
Now grab a hold of the intestines up under the top.
Hey.
Yeah. There you go. Pull that right out of there. You might have to tickle it with a knife a little bit. Nope, it's coming out good. There you go. Now you got to get your knife off.
Whatever it is.
Cut that off and it'll pop right out of there. Just like that. Now you get this out your way. Smell something?
Huh? Cool. That's an external fart, basically.
Yep.
What that is.
Nice, huh?
That's something. So there's more that needs to come out?
Well, I got the liver.
This guy right here?
Water.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, you better put it in the barrel. It's dirty.
What the heck is this? Spleen?
I believe it's a pancreas. Put that in the barrel.
Pancreas. Well, that's the heart. Is there anything different about what's going on here and what goes on at a butcher shop?
Nope. This one go in the pail.
It's a big heart.
Earl uses about 55 to 60% of the cow for food. Another 10% of the byproducts will be used for other purposes, like bones for dogs. If there was a rendering plant nearby, most of the rest would be used for animal feed, leather products, glue, cosmetics, and dog treats. But in the absence of a plant, Earl will send the remaining 30% or so to a landfill.
Not much left in there, is there?
Not much. There are a lot of guts in a cow.
Yeah.
A lot of guts.
Look like a job you can handle?
Well, I think I'll get through the day, but I don't know that you'll see me tomorrow.
Now you get to split them. I'll get them started for you, because it's a little tricky.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm no stranger to power tools, but using them to cut through a carcass was a little... Well, let's just say that sushi sounding pretty good tonight.
Can be hard to hang on to. That's good.
Did it. Nice to meet you. This is a cow, completely in half and partially quartered.
Pull the spinal cord out.
Is that an official spinal cord remover?
Spinal cord remover.
You know it.
Man, that really is the tool for everything.
Pulling that out is that where the brain and the spinal tissue is where your mad cow? Mad cow disease is at.
Yeah.
So we don't want to take that back home and cut through it every time we cut a steak. So that has to stay here. We put it right in the inedible. And discard it right away.
Spinal cord.
Right.
Inedible.
Inedible, you bet. Got
it. And just like that, it was time to take our carcass to Earl's Meat Shop for more butchery. But not before we cleaned up our mess.
Lungs. Oh. No. I hate when I drop the lungs.
Push her right in. We're out of here.
You know, there must be something about driving through the countryside, surrounded by hanging raw meat, that makes one contemplate the meaning of life. Because it was there, in that 1990 gas-powered mobile butcher truck, when the philosophical ramblings of a novice butcher came flooding out like blood from a cow.
For the animal, in terms of its anxiety, and in terms of, you know, I mean, ultimately, it's the end either way, but this seems like a heck of a more humane way to put him down.
You bring it to any animal, you bring it to a strange place, you move it somewhere it's not comfortable with, and it doesn't like it. It gets nervous, it's hard on them, it gives them more adrenaline. Now they're at home, they're calm, this is where they're used to.
You know, honestly, I wish I'd seen that, what we just did when I was in elementary school. It would have really been helpful. You know, I mean, so many kids, so many adults just don't have a clue, you know, about really, you know, how they get their food.
It's good for you to know what's going on and where it comes from, and why I try to teach my kids young. My son helped me butcher his first cow when he was 2.5 years old.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point. You know, I mean, no matter what you think, you know, if you're a big meat fan or not, that's not the point. Point is, if you're gonna eat it, you ought to appreciate, I think, where it came from, and
yep,
you know,
who took care of it,
and who took care of it, especially the Earl's Meats.
There you go.
Happy Acres. That's nice. Is that the official name or the old name?
The old name.
We're gonna put the stuff in our barrels in here.
You know it.
What the heck's in there?
That's yesterday's. Now, if you don't fall in.
Oh. Whew. Just once I'd like to leave that out front of my apartment. I'm friends with my garbage man.
There you go.
Just to give him a...
give him a hard time.
Yeah. Coming up, I find myself getting very excited about hindquarters.
If you hang around this meat long enough,
all right,
you might want to open up your own steakhouse.
2 T-bones, 2 porterhouse, 1 sirloin.
All right, order up.
Now back her up to the building.
Whoa, that's so close. What? All right, I think we're here. Jerry?
Hey.
Mike, how are you?
Good.
Related?
Brothers.
Yeah. My brother.
Yep.
Get along all right?
Most of the time.
Good, because your face didn't exactly light up there when you saw him.
Oh, no. We don't have no trouble.
Okay, so is he going to be working with us or with me, or what, are you done?
Just about.
Okay.
We weigh it all here, and then we'll get it on the trolley, roll it in here. It has to be stamped. It has to say not for sale because the meat belongs to the customer, not to us. We're just doing the work for him.
Right.
So once we get it in here, it's still his, but it's got to be identified that it can't be cut.
Because you don't want to mix the meats.
No, right.
That's the whole deal.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the point. If you're a farmer, you want it done here because you know that the meat you get back was your steer.
Yep. If we butcher on a farm, we cannot sell in our store. It has to be butchered at an inspected slaughterhouse.
I got it. Okay.
This is all their meat back.
Pure meat.
You got
your meat coming back to you.
One at a time.
Yep. What are you doing there with those wires, Jer?
This controls the hoist, the up and down movement.
Oh, I see what you doing.
Yep.
Got it.
There you go.
All right.
An intricate maze of overhead tracks called trolleys serve as a transport system through the shop.
This weighs 148.
After the pieces are weighed, they're pushed along these tracks, which is good news, considering that a side of meat can weigh almost 400 pounds.
Now get another one.
I find myself getting very excited about hindquarters. That a push. I got a feeling this one's heavier.
152 and a half.
Okay.
All right. I'll clean this up for you. You're going to get enough cleaning later.
I almost never hear
Appreciate
that.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'll get to know your brother.
Yeah. All right. We're moving these now so we can tag them.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that they have the customer's name on them and all their weights so that they get what they're... what they paid for.
Right, because at this point, it's all about keeping an eye on your specific towel.
Yep, keep track of it. So we just stick that right in the meat.
Like right in here somewhere. Okay.
All right, and then this is a stamp USDA requires we put on because these have not been through a USDA plant. Those are animals we've butchered ourselves.
Right.
We need to put 3 stamps on each one. They all say not for sale.
And they require you to do this.
So that if an inspector would come in here or we were in here, you know, an employee that hadn't been here today knows that this cow is not something we'd use in our store.
Now, if you didn't have a store here, would you have to do this?
Yes, we still have to do it.
Anybody who butchers for a third party.
All right, now we got to roll them
begins.
In the cooler.
In the cooler they go.
For the next 2 weeks, the meat will hang in this 38-degree freezer, where it will age.
Just push them and I'll catch them on this end.
All right.
The meat at Earl's Meats is always aged 2 weeks before it's cut up and sold. Aging meat is what gives it its delicious flavor, for 2 reasons. First, over the 2 weeks, much of the moisture from the meat evaporates, concentrating the flavors.
Sorry.
Second, over those 2 weeks, the natural enzymes break down the connective tissue of the meat, thus making it more tender.
Now we want to make sure they're not touching. Yeah, there's a little bump there.
Right.
Okay, so turn them rib to rib like that. Yep, and that's good. You can see the steam coming off of them.
Yeah.
So this right here is what we'll be cutting this afternoon, this half. So.
And this guy's been hanging here for?
2 weeks.
Well, this might be a nice time to break for lunch.
Sounds good.
When we come back, we'll make some steaks.
All right.
Some ribeyes. Some, all of it.
T-bones. Roasts.
Yes.
Everything.
We'll make a roast. Nobody ever makes roasts anymore. There he is.
Hey, Mike, ready to go?
Well, sure.
Front quarter beef here. We're going to cut per customer order. We have a customer order right here.
Now, this is, just to be clear, the cow that you butchered 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago today. Yep.
And you did it on site, just like we did today.
Right.
Brought back 4 quarters. They've been hanging for 2 weeks.
Yep.
And now they're cold.
The aging process is done.
Yep.
And now we're going to cut it. Customer has ordered that in a certain way.
2 T-bones, 2 porterhouse, 1 sirloin.
This is how thick we're going to cut the steaks. It's 3/4 inch. This is how the owner of this beef ordered it. So this is how we're going to cut it.
All right. I'll make more sense of it as I go.
Come right around on this side here. We'll see what we're doing. And you stick your knife right in there and cut it right along that rib as far as you can.
Got it. Am I trying to cut the whole thing
off? You won't cut through. There's bone there. So.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Next project.
Project, man. You make it sound like an endeavor.
Take the handsaw.
Handsaw. All right.
Cut through this side. Now just hold it just to be sure don't go on the ground.
That's a good idea.
There are 15 different cuts of meat on a cow. And I'm guessing that by the end of our time, we'll get pretty acquainted with all of them. It's like biology class. So pay attention, kids. There will be a test.
There you go. Okay. We are done with a handsaw. Take this meat here and trim all this extra neck meat off.
Call it neck meat?
Yeah.
Is there a more official term for it?
Just neck meat, yep. We're going to trim that off for a hamburger. You bet. That piece goes to Jerry.
Jerry.
Down there, we're going to trim the...
Just some neck
right
meat
table.
For you.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, certainly. That was along the spine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Learn what this is?
That's a cow.
How about diaphragm?
That's a diaphragm right there. Yeah. That's the thing that allows it to breathe.
It goes in the inedible?
Oh, I don't know. I think you needed that.
Somebody could, yeah.
Believe me. I know a guy. He needed it.
Right on in there.
Look at Dave. All the goodness of what you had for breakfast.
The largest commercially available hamburger, as recognized by Guinness World Records, can be found at Mally's Sports Grill and Bar in Southgate, Michigan. The giant burger weighs in between 180 and 200 pounds and costs $499.
we have a hindquarter.
Yes, we do.
Spin it all the way around. Now we're ready for the handsaw again.
Is this the loin?
Yep, that's the loin.
Let's throw it.
Yep. What we're going to do now is cut the brisket off, which will come through the band with the bandsaw right through here. And right here you feel the joint.
Uh-huh.
And also cut the neck off right here.
The neck? Okay? All right.
Yep. With a bandsaw.
We've gone straight from biology class to wood shop. There really is nothing quite like cutting body parts with a bandsaw.
We need soup bones.
Just soup bones?
Yep.
All right. All right.
So this is going to be the short ribs pretty soon, okay?
Okay. Now it's starting to look like a steak. I forget what part of the cow I'm looking at.
This is the rib. How about some short ribs next?
How about some short ribs?
Perfect. We're ready for the chuck. That just be hoisted up and lifted on the saw.
Why do they call it a chuck?
Chuck, front shoulder. That's just
the... Okay, so it's the shoulder. It's the shoulder. It's the rotator cuff.
Right. Then we'll trim this stuff up. We cut right next to that bone. Peel that meat off there.
Tell me you've never nicked your belly there.
Not enough. It's still pretty big.
I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just watching your technique coming at you. That makes me nervous.
You kind of learn to...
To not do that. Stab yourself once in the belly and you start to learn.
All right.
That's not what you want to do.
No, I think the last guy to do that was Jerry around here.
Yep. Jerry, you stabbed yourself in the gut?
You bet he did.
Yeah, right here. That was my last one.
Oh, that's your last one.
Yeah. 6 stitches.
Ay, ay, ay.
Then you have a rump roast to roll yet.
Rump roast.
We're going to roll this.
What does that mean, verb-wise?
You tie a knot on there, and then I'll tie a knot on it.
Tie a knot?
Yep. We're going to go around here like this. Make this into a rolled roast, okay? You may tie it any way you like, or would you like me to show you how to do it?
Oh, just do it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could give it a shot, but I don't... Clearly, there's a right way. Oh, see, right there, I'd have been wrong.
I'll do a couple, and you try one. Just like show, Then we got this end to do yet, if you'd like to try it. You may tie any old kind of knot you want in there, but...
I like what you were doing.
The old butcher shop and so on.
Well, what if I were to do this, and like this, and then like this, and then like that, and then something like that?
Not bad.
Bring that around like this. What you do is you just give that a pull like that, and this is ideally with this. See, that comes around. And what you do, Earl, is you just start over. Let me show you again what I'm trying to. What I want to do is you're obviously doing a slip knot, which means I could go, but you're doing a slip knot with both. Right,
I can show you how to do it.
Yeah, go.
Okay. This one over there.
Uh-huh.
Come around.
Way too tricky.
It's an old Dutchman's knot I learned from a guy.
From an old Dutchman?
There your thing is, and now we just got to jerk it tight, and it'll never come loose. Try again. Lay it over your two fingers.
Like so?
Now this way. Now, bring your hand around like that. You're good.
Yeah.
Keep it spinned over. It's hard to teach this one.
Yeah, it's impossible. So what we do is we just give it a tug like this, and there you go. Okay,
there, we got that done. He's pretty good at that one. Nuts.
You might want to put another one on there to double check it. Yeah, I would, just to be sure.
I've tied a couple thousand of these. That's all ready to go. The rolled rump roast. We're just going to cut it in half.
What did one piece of twisted rope say to the other piece of twisted string?
I don't know. I'll stick with you.
I'm afraid not.
That was the best joke I heard yet this afternoon.
Well, that's because you got sons like Jeff and Jerry.
No offense, sir. Mike is ready to start cutting some steaks. Most people don't like more than like 3/8 of an inch of fat. That's kind of how we trim.
Well, for the next several hours, Earl and I cut, sliced, diced, and chopped meat.
Perfect.
Really?
That's the brisket. So that's the rib and the club. All right, that's your skirt steak. Looking good. Farmer knows how to raise them.
We even ground some hamburger. And then things got a little, well, gutsy.
The special cuts.
Yep, the organ meat has to go back to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
They like to... use it for different things. A lot of people like liver. And we have the heart, tongue, liver, and tail here. But we're going to start with the tongue. Cut the bottom part off here.
At a glance, how do I know what...
What part is edible?
That's right.
I think that caught your eye.
It is tongue.
Yeah, we're going to cut that off there because that's just a little... Most people don't...
Get too picky when it comes to their tongue.
The thing we'll do is the heart. Cut it right in half first. Either way, don't matter how. Okay, and now the tail. Can cut between the joints. Right about there. Yep. And
then. What do people do with this exactly?
They make a lot of vegetable soup. Oxtail soup.
Yep.
Now we got the best part for last, the liver. We are going to hear that handed here. Quarter inch strips right off.
All the way down.
Well, I guess it was only fitting that we end where we began, back in biology class. Just as with every class, there's the final exam.
Well, that's a whole lot of meat, guys. It's a whole lot of meat, but it's only half the edible part of the cow.
Right. Yep.
All right. Hamburger. liver, tongue, heart, and tail.
Got that one covered.
Pot roast, hamburger, club, rib, sirloin, T-bone, porterhouse, short ribs, stew meat, sizzler, round rump, round steak, brisket, and the first letter?
Yes.
Soup bone.
There you go.
All right. So this is all a novice really has to know about the meat you can eat from a cow.
It's a good start.
Anyway, thank you.
You bet.
Good fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Could I take... No, I'm not taking anything. I'm going to leave it just like this. Seared into my retina forever.
So here's the thing. I know there are a lot of dirty jobs out there. Lately, I've just come to the realization that I have to dig a little bit harder to find them, which is a nice way of saying, I need your help. So if you can think of a new, creative, fun way for me to get dirty in a new and exciting dimension, discovery.com/dirty jobs. As soon as you can, I'd be grateful. Hey now.
What?
It's a job.
You want to stay and have a job?
I'm in TV, man. I haven't had a real job in years.
All right, so we're off to, what's it called again?
The shop. When it's thunder and lightning out here, we do this kind of fast, because it...
Yeah, you're working on a lightning rod.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that your nails?
Did you not ask to be scratched?
Yeah, but not at all.